From the Bristol Herald Courier, I'm David McGee. This is On the Record. This week on The Record, reporter Joe Tennis speaks with Rick Rose of the Barter Theater about how the landmark Abingdon attraction is doing financially and what the future holds. In sports, we look ahead to the Fitzgerald NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals coming up June 15th to the 17th at Bristol Dragway, and Chelsea Gillenwater has the nightlife calendar.
This is Joe Tennis with the Bristol Herald Courier, and we're celebrating the 85th anniversary of the Barter Theater in Abingdon, Virginia. It all got started on June 10, 1933, when an actor named Robert Porterfield came back to his hometown area of Southwest Virginia and decided to open up a theater. With vegetables you cannot sell, you can buy a good laugh. That was the theme, and it still continues today. The laughs are on stage and in the audience. Here we'll talk to producing artistic director Richard Rose and hear some thoughts on the past of the Barter Theater, the present, and its future.
Bob Porterfield said in his memoirs, the single hardest, I won't quote him, I'll just paraphrase him, the single hardest thing about running this theater, probably any theater, is finances. And it's always true. Finances are the most difficult end of theater anywhere. It's why the only thing that closes more in the United States rapidly than is restaurants. Theater is the second hardest existing business in the United States because it's just very difficult.
How have you changed your style? Are you a little less controversial than you were in the 90s?
Do I seem less controversial?
Yes.
I'm sorry to hear that.
What's going to change?
I would think Mount Airy probably put an end to that.
Mount Airy did put an end to that. And I think, Mount Airy was back to the, I remember the Disney thing 10 years ago. Yeah. What was?
You get smarter over time, for one thing.
You don't have the mixed race cast in Cat in a Hot Tin Roof.
No, what was that? We actually do. Nobody's talking about that anymore. I mean, that's the thing. We got over that hump, and nobody's ever mentioned it since then. We do a lot. We have a lot of women playing men. We have a lot of non-traditional casting. Mm-hmm. It's just not an issue anymore. And now the rest of the country's caught up with us.
Right.
I mean, you go to a Broadway show 5 years ago, you wouldn't see the mixed race cast as you see now.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're just pretty standard fare on Broadway. So we were just way ahead of the audience. But our audience caught up with us very quickly there. Even by the end of that first season for the mixed race cast, they stopped talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just came to accept it. And in point of fact, a lot of people came to embrace it. That was controversial at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was controversial for the good. I mean, same thing with something like Liquid Moon. I mean, that whole crap over Liquid Moon, they all turned out. We got more patrons out of that, long-term patrons and long-term donors out of Liquid Moon than any show we've ever done.
Right.
People really supported us for that because we were doing it for the right reasons. It wasn't gratuitous. It was
mm-hmm.
all for. And once they realized that, man, they just embraced us. Like,
when's that show coming back?
Oh, I won't bring that show back. There's no reason to. It's not a show that I'd ever repeat again.
Mm-hmm. Why do you repeat shows?
We repeat shows that, A, we think didn't really get enough audience that it should have. And
mm-hmm.
Bright Star will be that. Bright Star, which we did this spring, is a show that our audience really embraced, but it never got beyond our audience. It never got out into the general public,
okay.
into the next layer. It has now. People are starting to ask for it now.
Okay.
Because they realized, they heard from everybody how wonderful it was and how incredible it was. They've learned more about it because the Broadway production didn't do well and got poorly reviewed and all of that. They thought it might not be good. Now they've learned that our production really is the way the show should have been done. So, we'll bring that back at some point. So that's largely why we bring it back. Or sheer popularity.
You said you like to hire good people, let them do their job. How many people have you hired since you've been here since 92?
Oh, my God. We have 135 full-time employees and probably about a 20% turnover rate in some level every year.
Right.
Lots of people.
So you've probably hired 1,000 people.
Oh, easily.
Okay.
Way more than that.
And how many have you fired?
In my time here?
Yeah.
Probably less than 10 people.
And what were the reasons that you actually had to get rid of them?
Because they weren't doing their jobs.
Okay.
Or they weren't learning, or they weren't progressing. You know, we have a thing here that we believe that art equals growth, and we really take that seriously.
Okay.
We have found the best employees are the people who want to learn, who are willing to learn and learn. And every now and then you get somebody who just isn't doing that.
Are you tough to work for?
I was. I'm probably not as tough to work for as I used to be. That's one of the places I've matured pretty well and learned from working with board members and working with other people.
What were you like? What were you like 15 years ago to work for?
Probably a little more brutally honest and a little more hot-tempered.
Mm-hmm.
I'd call people on the carpet pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little less like that now. I coach a little more and mm-hmm. work a little harder at being a little gentler.
Who made you do that?
Nobody made me do that. I learned that from time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I learned that. I worked with some good board members. Alex Anderson, who just died. Howard McElroy, who's still alive and is a former president, who's rotated on and off our board, is still on our board. Kyle Massiano, who I'm working with right now. Nancy DeFries. I mean, I've worked with some really good board members, and they've taught me a lot. They've just taught me a lot from working with them.
Why do you have such an affection for the Carter Fold?
I love those folks. I love those folks both because there are some things like that. They are the authentic human beings who really have never been given the credit that they deserved for their place in American musical theater history.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing Jeanette and Rita and, you know, even Johnny Cash and all those folks.
You knew Joe very well.
I did,
yeah.
Very. They were pretty humble.
Mm-hmm.
They were just real down-to-earth human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And they never let that all go to their head. As opposed to some of the Carter family that went and tried to capitalize on that. That took a negative attitude toward those who didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I have a great respect for those kind of people. Ralph Stanley the same way, but the Carters especially.
Are you going to put the show back on?
We will at some point. We've probably exploited that piece to the maximum we can, and there's a movement right now against, but, you know, that kind of music is not in at the present time.
Right.
History isn't in at the present time from that kind of perspective. It'll come back around again.
What do you think? Do you think it just sort of waned after
a
while?
I think it is. I think it will.
After the O Brother, Where Art Thou, it was a big deal, and then it just kind of...
I agree. It did. And also the Crooked Road has now brought so many concerts in the region
mm-hmm.
that there's such a plethora of music available on all scales from regional music that there's less interest in that now.
Do you think the...
from a theater sample.
It's
true of everything Hank Williams and all of those kinds of things. There's much less interest from it in the theater world now.
So Rick Rose, who would not give his age, is going to stay at the Barter Theater for how much longer?
I could say. I can't say because we've not announced anything. So I can't make it public.
Are you planning to leave?
I will retire at some point, yes. I believe theater is a young people's business.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the theater, I've been really good. The average stay of an artistic director at a LORT theater is the same as the average stay of a manager in baseball and a professional baseball and a football coach, which the average is 7 years.
Ooh.
And there's something about the 7-year itch, and I worked with other artistic directors. At the end of about the sixth year, everybody goes, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I don't know what I want to do. And if you don't have a vision for the future, you can't just sustain. It's really bad for everybody.
Right.
And that's what happens. I've been pretty good at reimagining and revisioning. But I think, you know, I'm to the point in my life that Barter probably needs a new vision and a new leader. And that will happen at some point in the future.
Is it something where you have to be careful too, because people know the Barter because of you, whereas the Barter needs to stand on its own?
That's correct. That's
it's
also
like
true.
Food City. If something happens, it's Team Smith.
Right.
On the whistle
pad. No, it's a fair thing.
Because.
And yeah. I say it this way. I don't want to be Brett Favre. I don't want to be people telling me, you should have retired about
last
7 year. Years ago.
Yeah.
At some point, you go, it's just time for somebody else to do this.
You're not planning on anything immediately, are you?
I don't know what that means. Define immediately.
Well, you were born in 1943, right?
I'm glad you think I'm that old. See, yeah, I told you the 19-year-old story because I've always looked older than I am.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. When I was the youngest, when I was assigned to Barter Theater, when I got this job at Barter Theater, I was the youngest artistic director in the League of Resident Theaters in the United States. I am now...
Oh, I can figure out your age eventually.
I am now probably the oldest artistic director in the United States.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean much. They're all younger than I am.
So. Right. Right.
How many years ahead do you plan for shows? Are you, like, 2 years ahead?
No, we don't, because getting rights is very difficult. And a lot of times, even if you plan a couple years ahead, suddenly a national tour will come up, and they'll take away all your rights. Okay. So that's happened to Sound of Music. I called to get Sound of Music. Last year, we had it lined up well in advance. The national tour came along. They get the exclusive rights. The company will pull your rights for the show.
They did that live show on ABC. Yeah. And messed up everything.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens.
What are you planning for June 10th?
I don't know.
The anniversary?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I mean, we're doing what we normally do. Every year we've done big anniversary stuff mm-hmm. has been our worst years.
Why is that?
Because you tend to put a lot of effort and time in it. And we're not sure that we think the 85th meant enough to do some big event.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do some events throughout the year and smaller events, and that's the way we're kind of dealing with it.
So what happened on that first night?
That was the first performance.
The June 10th.
The first performance of Barter Theater.
And was it here or
yeah.
was it over
no,
there?
It was here. The first 3 years were here. They went over there in 46. The first 2 years were here. 33, 34, 35. First 3 years were
so
here.
So 30, 36.
It was over at the other space.
They went over to the college.
Yeah.
And how long did they stay there?
Just until 40. They came back here in 41. And then 41 and 42, and then they went to Waters.
So why'd they go over there?
They went over there because an English gentleman had rented this space mm-hmm. out from under them during the winter and rented the Martha at the same time. And he was starting to produce, he was starting to bring in touring shows.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's why. So for those 3 years, he was running this space.
What was his name?
I don't remember. I should know.
Okay.
I've always forgotten this. I always blank it out.
Okay.
I can get it for you.
Is that why the publicity shot, one of the famous publicity shots, is on the steps over there at the college?
Yes.
Okay.
Because who's the cartoonist? Hirschfeld.
Hirschfeld, yeah.
Yeah, Hirschfeld is drawn in that space because he came down here in 36.
So he drew over there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do over there now?
We're renovating it right now.
Right.
That's our rehearsal space.
When will the renovations be done?
Probably never. We never thought we'd live to see it. I wouldn't. It'll be done by the end of, by fall of next year.
Didn't think you'd live to see. Well, how old are you now?
Yeah. He's been trying.
Next up, here's Nate with sports.
Sports editor Nate Hubbard here with the latest sports report. As of this recording, scheduled to be finishing up all of our Virginia High School League prep sports state tournament action this weekend at various sites around Radford, Blacksburg, and Salem. And with all that scheduled to be in the books, we'll turn our attention coming up to the Thunder Valley Nationals at Bristol Dragway. They'll be held on their traditional weekend, Father's Day weekend, coming up here, and be the usual sort of schedule and big event on the local motorsports scene here. They'll have qualifying on Friday and Saturday, getting the brackets all set for the top-tier classes, and then on Sunday they'll have eliminations as the drivers chase after the coveted Wally Awards, those little... trophies that everyone is chasing. Some of the the names that were prominent last year in grabbing the trophies. Clay Milliken won the Top Fuel class. Alex Laughlin won Pro Stock. And Ron Capps took home the Funny Car Championship at Bristol. Alex Laughlin was in town here this past week on Wednesday, and our main motorsports writer, Alan Gregory, made some time to get over to the press conference at Bristol Dragway in between his high school sports coverage and talked with Laughlin. Laughlin was reflecting last year about his win last year and gave this quote. He said, I don't usually watch races on TV, mainly because I'm super busy, but I've definitely taken time to watch the Bristol race more than once, and I like scrolling through my phone and seeing pictures from that Bristol weekend. And his award is something that is a prominent spot for him too. He said, it's sitting up on the shelf at my house. I walk by it pretty much every day that I'm home. Winning at Bristol on Father's Day with my dad there to watch, it was extra special. That Father's Day spot on the schedule for the NHRA does make Bristol a special spot on the tour. The drivers, you know, always talk about how neat it is in the mountains, but it's obviously something that fathers, sons, fathers, daughters come out to the Bristol Dragway to get to experience kind of that family weekend. So we'll have our eyes on the event again this week. We'll have coverage from Alan leading up, various previews and things leading up to the event, and then the usual comprehensive coverage from the weekend as we see who will bring home the titles this year.
Next up, here's Chelsea with this week's calendar of events.
This is Chelsea Gillenwater, bringing you some local concerts that you might want to check out in the upcoming week. Hailing from England, the indie rock band Gomez continues their U.S. tour at Orange Peel in Asheville on June 10th at 8 p.m. Tickets start at $30, and meet-and-greet ticket packages are also available, which include meeting Gomez band members post-show, early entry, and a commemorative poster, all for around $100. Call 828-398-1837 to get your tickets now. The Little Bit of Everything tribute band Stolen Apples will perform at Harvest Table Restaurant on June 13th at 6:30. The band got its start swapping their favorite songs and covering everything from Carter Family originals to hits from the 80s, and they bring unique arrangements to a wide variety of genres. Call 276-944-5142 for more info. From East Tennessee, the Diamonds bring a diverse mix of music to their shows, specializing in jazz standards. The Diamonds will be coming to Blackbird Bakery on June 14th at 8 p.m. Call 276-645-5754 for more details. Down home in Johnson City welcomes American songwriter Tim Easton on June 14th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $14 for an evening of musical folk tales in Easton's bold style. Visit www.downhome.com or call 423-929-9822 for more information. Jiggy Ray's Downtown Pizzeria will be hosting JB Five and Dime on June 16th at 7 p.m. Describing themselves as honky-tonk with an American edge, JB Five and Dime are local apprentices to the craft and influence of country music. Call 423-518-1500 for more information. That's all for next week. Thanks for listening to On the Record.
On the Record is a podcast production of the Bristol Herald Courier in Bristol, Virginia. The On the Record team includes Chelsea Gillenwater, David Krieger, Tim Hayes, Nate Hubbard, Paul Rice, and me, David McGee. Thanks for listening.